When I read this text, I was saddened by the fact that so much gets lost in the translation. So I will try this morning, at least with the text verse for the sermon, to reveal something of the real words in the text. And it's verse 20. But while the lost son was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with a deep feeling within him. The translation says compassion. The Greek word suggests something else. An undescribable urge. A deep feeling inside you that makes your heart aches almost. He ran to his son. That meant he had to really pick up his ropes, which is like my ropes. And he ran to him. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. That's the intention of this text this morning. As you all know, I am trying to go to the gym as regularly as possible. And I must say, according to Nanda, I only go because I can watch the telly while exercising. And yes, I do agree with her. It's absolutely fantastic for me to watch the telly while I'm doing my exercises. But because I do not genuinely, when I'm at home, watch the telly, I don't always get the time. And when I am at home, Henry is watching Shrek. So, every time when I'm doing the exercises, I am amazed by what is going on in the world. And even more so, what's going on in Britain. And for a week now, I've been watching a program, Fake Britain. Have you seen this? And I can't believe that there's gangsters out there that fakes almost everything. From cars to even fake identities for imposters. And as I was reading and studying this text, it dawned on me, if there's one thing we can't fake, then it's love. Real love. Why? Because real love comes from God. It is His gift to us. And it's a gift that is always accompanied by deeds, responsibility, peace, sacrifice, happiness and joy. It's always positive and it always reveals the truth. And I guess this is exactly what Jesus was trying to tell his listeners in the first century and us too. His love for us, God's love for us, was not only words or promises or fake stuff. His love accompanied the biggest deed of love, namely to sacrifice. To sacrifice himself so that we can live. In our reading this morning, Jesus responds to the reactions of the Pharisees. Because according to them, Jesus is mixing with the wrong crowds. Jesus is gathering all these bad people around him. They thought by themselves, is Jesus daft to even eat with these people, the tax collectors and the sinners? Because in those days, the people that you ate with was the ones you trusted. They were your buddies and your friends. How can Jesus do that? Because we know the tax collectors was people, evil people at times, who collected taxes for the government, the Roman government, a foreign government, at a profit. They were seen as collaborators of the occupying Roman authority. In those days, you would just hand over your money, don't even look at them, and just go on. Because if you touched them or spoke to them even, you would defile yourself. And that meant suicide. Your society would push you aside. But Jesus shows us that God's love cannot be contained. His love is for everyone. And in this parable, Jesus is portraying to them in an almost picturesque way, telling them with a parable how the love of God really looks like. So what happened in this parable? And I want to tell this parable with the lenses of the first century society. First, it was quite a shocking thing to do in those days to claim your inheritance while your father was still alive. This young laddie took his inheritance, and while by taking it, he actually said his father is dead. His father does not exist anymore, which is a very disgraceful and an unloving way of treating your father. And in those days, the eldest son received a double portion, which in this case, which meant that he received 2/3 of the inheritance, while the younger son only received 1/3. But just as shocking as this, it would be shocking to them the way the father treated this young son. He handed over this inheritance. In those days, this was shameful. Shameful that this father gave way to the deeds of an immoral son. This father had to stand up for his rights and tell his son to wait. So the people in the first century would not identify with this father. And then, of course, this young laddie, can he work with money? And wasted it all. And I know some of us in this church would say, oh well, it was expected. And then this poor laddie lost everything. He spent all his money. And he became a shadow figure. He became a shadow figure and no one cared for him. He even, excuse me, had to eat what the pigs ate. That meant that he was defiling himself, because pigs were considered as unclean. This son was then a loner with no one else to help him, because if they did help him, they would be unclean too, and they would lose their position in their society. So this young laddie decides there's only one option. I'll go back to my father, but not as his son. He accepted the fact that his father will only receive him back as his servant. But the love of the father overshadows everything. He was so filled with love, he did a most undignified thing in those days, namely to roll up his garment, his robes, and he ran to the son. And the Greek text said, he forgot everything. He wrapped his arms around him, and he kissed him, which meant in those days, he accepted him as his son, as his dearest family member. Because in those days, you would only kiss the people that was very close to you. He commanded the slaves to bring him the best robes, which belonged to the father, and also to give him the family ring. It was a seal ring, and it was the most precious possession anyone could have in that society. Because that seal ring was your identity document, like our driving licenses here in the UK. It confirmed who you were, and you would use it to seal your most important documents. And then they also brought him shoes. In those days, slaves did not have shoes. By this sign, the father says, "You are not a slave. You are my son. You were lost, but now you're found." And then there's yet another turn in this parable. The older son hears of all that happened and is so upset with his father. And he again reacts in a very disgraceful way too. Namely, by not going and entering into his father's house and not addressing his father properly. But again, the love of the father overpowers all the insults. The father goes out to the older son. And in the Greek text it says, he begged him. He begged him. He pleaded with him to please see the bigger picture. To see why he's so happy. His brother was lost, but he came back. In the parable, Jesus is actually saying, the elder brother is the metaphor for the Pharisees. The younger brother is the sinners whom Jesus chose to eat with. And of course, the father of this lost son is the metaphor for God the Father. And this father's love is unrestricted. And when I studied this parable, I could not help but think of Paul's definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13. And I was not surprised to find all and even more of the characteristics of real love in the actions of this father. His love was patient. He waited for his beloved son to return, just as God our Father is waiting on you and me sometimes to respond in faith. He, the Father, knew very well that his lost son could not survive without his help. And God our Father knew from his loving heart that we can't survive without his love, his presence, and peace and hope on this earth. And God our Father also ran to you and me with open arms, with the salvation of Jesus Christ. He embraces us each and every moment through his Holy Spirit, because God our Father looks at us through eyes of love. And he knows we can't survive on this earth without his loving presence every moment of every day. He does it despite all our sins and all our transgressions and all our imperfections. This father's love was kind and generous to forgive all the transgressions, all the insults of his sons, just as God our Father forgave you and me all our sins and transgressions. And this father's love was not spiteful. He did not tell his son, "I told you so." He did not give his son several ultimatums to fulfill before entering and coming back into his house. Sometimes our love can be so demanding and spiteful, and the result? An increasing number of divorces, broken children, broken relationships, and a crippled society. This father's love did not boast or sang his own praises. No, he only focused on his sons. His joy was perfect because he had real, deep sense of joy and gladness because his sons was with him. His love was not so proud as to exclude his sons. No, despite the fact that they treated him in a very unkind way, he still responded with love. He kissed his younger son and showered him with gifts of love. He even went outside his house to his older son and he begged him to understand. Although he, as the father, had every right as the patriarch to punish the son. But his love was not rude, self-seeking, selfish, or angered. He did not make a scene, even when his older son reacted angrily. He stayed calm and pleaded because his son meant more than his own emotions. His love did not keep record of all the wrong things his sons did to him. His love protected his sons. He trusted them. His love persevered till the end. But his love was also sacrificial. Although his sons took away his dignity, he kept on loving them. And if this is not a powerful message to portray God's love for us, I don't know of anything else that could. And if there's a lesson we can learn, then it's to accept the love of God with acts of love, thanksgiving, and deeds of faith. Because this love, this real love, never ever fails. Sometimes we do experience while living on this earth that our relationships break down, that our children drift. Sometimes our children go off the rails. And yes, sometimes we lose our cool in real life situations. But no matter what, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to imitate this love in everything we do, say, and think. God expects us, as fathers, as mothers, husbands, wives, brothers and sisters, to love unconditionally. He expects us to love even if it hurts. Even if we go through nights of loneliness and lots of cries. Even when we cry out to God, help me. When it hurts so much, we can know to wake up in the morning and know I'm not alone because God's love is with me. Because God expects our love to be patient, to be kind, generous, forgiving, protecting, trusting, and persevering and sacrificial. He expects us not to being spiteful, boastful, proud, rude, angry, or selfish. God expects us to do our best in the way we love one another as He loves us. On this Mother's Day, may we experience the real love of God in the way that mothers speak to their children, touch them, and teach them about the Lord God's love, the love that forgave us. Amen.